Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
I'd like to welcome you to Let the Bible Speak broadcast. It's certainly a pleasure to have you, and we pray that God will bless us as we gather around the Word of the Lord. I want to read some verses from the book of Romans chapter 10, commencing to read at verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're going to commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we confess our need of Thee today because without Thee we can do absolutely nothing. We thank Thee for Thy precious word, for Thy word is truth. Thy word is forever settled in heaven. And I pray that by the power of Thy Holy Spirit, that Thou wilt take of Thy word and write it in each and every one of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for His glory. Amen. Every time that a preacher stands before a congregation, he has a tremendous responsibility to be faithful to his Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul gave Timothy a solemn charge before he died and handed the baton to his young son in the faith when he said to Timothy, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word. And as we come to the word of God, we find very solemn things. For example, we are confronted by the problem of sin. The heart of man's problem is the problem of man's heart. The word of God reminds us in Romans chapter 3, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is not man's verdict. That's God's verdict. But thank God also in God's word, reminded of God's provision of the Savior. In John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And thank God, God did not leave us to our own efforts, seeking to make peace with God. But thank God, God has provided in Christ a wonderful Savior. As it says in Hebrews 9, verse 26, "But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Isaiah prophesied, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Thank God, not only do we have the problem of sin and the provision of the Savior, but there's the power of salvation revealed in God's precious word. Yes, the word of God says that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did and does. Jesus transforms the lives of men and women. Ask the woman that knelt down at the feet of Jesus. And as she knelt there with a broken heart and she shed her tears and at the feet of the Lord Jesus, Jesus said to her these words, "Woman, thy sins, which are many, are forgiven thee. Go in peace. Thy faith has saved thee." And as Hebrews said in chapter 7, verse 25, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him." That's what he did for the Philippian jailer, the man who started the night in the darkness of a sin. But praise God, he was broken in the presence of the Savior. And the Savior transformed his life, never to be the same again. That's what Jesus did for Zacchaeus when he was up the tree. And Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down, because this day is salvation. Come to thy house." That's what happened to the demon of Gadara, the man who was chained by his sin. But praise God, he was set gloriously free by the power of the Savior himself and the power of his wonderful salvation. And Jesus says, "Go home and tell your friends the great things that the Lord hath done for thee." And praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ does mighty things in the salvation of precious, never dying souls. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. But friend, in this book, we also read about the peril of the soul. Jesus asked the question, "What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" And the answer is absolutely nothing. We think of the words of Job when he posed the question, "But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he?" What a question. Where is he when man closes his eyes in death and steps out into God's eternity? Where will he be? This book tells us there's not only a heaven for the saved, but all the awful peril for the soul that dies without the Lord Jesus Christ. "For they shall perish in their sin." Do you remember the Lord Jesus spoke about the man in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, and it says this, "The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment." I remember learning a little verse as a little boy, "To lose your health or wealth is sad indeed, and to lose your health is more, but to lose your soul, it's such a loss that no man can restore." Oh, the awful peril for a precious soul to close her eyes in death and go out into God's eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ to say, "Where I am, he cannot come." Oh, God, in his mercy and grace, confronts men and women with their need of God's salvation. But what an awful tragedy, because we also read about the provocation of the Spirit, because Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3 says, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man. I want us to think about God's salvation in the closing moments of our Bible study. You know, so often a soul is told of their need of God's salvation, and yet they're not told of the way of salvation. And so today I want to simply leave before you simple steps that I believe are essential for you to understand God's way of salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can I be saved? How can I know that I am saved? How can I be sure that I am saved? What a question. And I want to simply help you in understanding what the Word of God says, because it's in the book, the Word of God itself. The first step to God's salvation is, first of all, realize your need. I'm not saved. What an admission. What an acknowledgement. I am not saved. You ask the question, but saved from what? Saved from what? I remember as a young lad, whenever I got saved, I went to school, and the first morning I was so excited I wanted to tell my friends that I'd got saved. And I said, you know, I got saved last night. Young lad sitting beside me says, were you drowning? He hadn't a clue. But you say, but everyone knows they need to be saved. No, friend, they don't. Saved from what? In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 21, it says this: thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And there's the first thing that you need to realize. You need to realize, I need to be saved from my sin. What a painful subject. Men and women do not want to acknowledge that they are stained and scarred by sin. But the Word of God says in Romans chapter 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. But maybe as you listen to me today, you say, but I live a clean life. I do the best I can. I'm not a sinner. You know what God says about your heart as well as mine? In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And even the best that we do, all of the things that we would say, this is the best that I do, that I am offering to God to get me into heaven. The Word of God says, but we are all an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. Oh, others laugh at sin. But the Word of God says in Proverbs 14:9, fools make a mock of sin. But what is sin? The Catechism says sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner not only by nature, I'm a sinner by practice. We all have sinned. Romans chapter 3, there is no difference. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your background is. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you say, I'm not. I'm not a sinner. But what does God say? God says this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We're lying. But friend, we're lying to ourselves as well as to God. Because if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And men and women are deceiving themselves because they say, well, listen, that is for the drunkard or the gambler or the immoral person. It's not for me, the clean living person, self-righteous, church-going person. I'm not a sinner. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And then verse 10 of that same passage says this, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. Why would that be so? Because God says we have. And if you're saying to me, I don't need to be saved because I'm not a sinner, God says all have sinned, so you're calling God a liar. Friend, that's a dangerous thing. To dare lift your finger in the sight of God and in the face of God and say, God, no, I'm not a sinner. You've got it all wrong. Others are sinners, but I'm not. Friend, you need to be saved from sin's power. We're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We're all enslaved and bound and fettered by sin. And we need liberated and set free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We need to be saved from sin's power. Yes, we need to be saved from sin's pollution, for it defiles us. Sin is not a clean thing. Sin's a vile thing. It was your sins that took my Savior to the cross and my sins that put him on the tree. Those awful sins. The Word of God says he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Yes, you need to realize you need to be saved. And you need to realize you're not saved. Do you remember what they said in Jeremiah's day, in Jeremiah 8, verse 20? The harvest is past. The summer's ended, and we're not saved. And maybe, friends, your mom and dad's saved. Maybe your loved ones are saved. Your son, your daughter's saved. Your friends are saved, but you have to say, I'm not saved. And friend, until you take that first step of acknowledging your need of God's salvation, you will never be saved. And if you're not saved from your sin, then where Christ is, you will never be. Out there in eternity, you will be like that rich man and in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Oh, forget your pride. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. Get out of the tree of your pride, friend. Forget about other people. Yes, the world may laugh you into hell, but they will never laugh you out of it. Face up to this reality. I had to. I'm a sinner. I am a lost sinner without Christ and without hope. But the second step to salvation is this. You recognize that Jesus Christ alone is the Savior. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 it says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And lest someone misunderstood the importance of that statement, Jesus said this, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It doesn't matter who you are, rich or poor, religious or irreligious, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Or 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Thank God Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There's a Savior from all sin. If we only let him into our hearts, he then will reign while we trust him. Yes, recognize that Jesus Christ alone is the Savior. The church cannot save you. The preacher cannot save you. The sacraments cannot save you. Your religiosity cannot save you. But praise God, Jesus can. That's why they called him Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. Jesus saves. I never met my grandparents. But one of those grandparents, my granny, was dying and leaving 8 little children behind. And the night she died, the children were waiting, yes, acknowledging the death angel would soon come. Then they heard singing from a dying mother's room. They made their way into the little hallway and looked into the room where mother was lying. And she pulled herself up in the bed and she was singing these words. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. Jesus saves, spread the glad news all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Climb the hills and cross the waves. Onward, 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves. And I'm telling you today, there is a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. And thank God he still saves to the uttermost. I don't care how far you are in sin. I don't care how far down in sin you've gone. Maybe the world has given up on you. Maybe your family has given up on you. But praise God, Jesus is able to save you to the uttermost, from the guttermost. Yes, recognize Jesus saves. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It is not of works. Lest any man should boast. There are multitudes of people, and they're trying to work to appease a righteous and a holy God. And yet the Word of God says it's not of works. You see, if you could get to heaven through your works, then why did God send His Son to Calvary's cross? Why did God give the darling of His bosom and send Him to the rugged tree of Calvary, there to be wounded and bruised and crushed upon the cross of shame? Why did He cry out in the darkness, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? If You are the way to heaven and not Jesus. But there is no other way. Look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says this, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Thirdly, respond to God's invitation. And the Spirit and the bride says, come. Revelation 22, 17. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. What did Jesus say in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, 28? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You've got to come to Christ. Take your place as a guilty, hell-deserving sinner and call upon the name of the Lord. For it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I ask you, have you come? Will you come? I think some of the saddest words that Jesus ever uttered was John chapter 5, verse 40. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Yes, you can have life, eternal life, in Jesus Christ. Respond to God's invitation and then receive what God offers as a step forward. Take Him at His word. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6, 23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. You don't earn a gift. And quite often it can be said, you certainly don't deserve the gift. I know that's true for me. But God didn't give me a gift because of my merit. He gave me that gift because of His grace. The gift of God is eternal life. Jesus said, oh, listen to Him. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And friend, rest on His assurance. Take God at His word. Rest in His promise. This is His word. rest on it. These things have I written unto you that ye might know that ye have eternal life. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Do you know what he promises? He promises, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He promises the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. He promises thy sins and thine iniquities will I remember no more. Take him at his word. Believe his promises. And thank God, know that you're saved. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless. That's a wonderful Savior, friend. His name is Jesus. Receive him. Don't turn him away. You will not come to me. Will you come? May God give you grace to call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, listen to these words, shall be saved. Praise the Lord. You can be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We ask of thee that by the power of thy Holy Spirit that thou will draw the sinner to thy lovely Son. Oh, that they might know thy so great, full, and free salvation that is in Christ, that they might know the covering of their sin in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, for Jesus' sake. Amen. May God bless his word to your heart. Thank you.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.